All right, cool. All right. Okay. Do you want up or not? The cat's doing the thing where she just... Come on. Do you want up? Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Football Absurdity Podcast. My name is Jeff Crisco, here with my co-host Walker Kelly. Mike Valverde is out being the world's foremost Sacramento River Cats fan. I cannot make a joke about him, you know, I don't know, getting hit with a baseball in the head and him tumbling down each stair, and each stair made him make the Homer Simpson disgruntled, what is it? I blew it. Annoyed grunt. Fuck. All right, let's start over. I fucked that up. That wasn't funny.
Okay.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Football Absurdity Podcast. My name is Jeff Crisco, here with my co-host, Walker Kelly. This is definitely the first time we've done this. I'm not tired. Walker, how you doing today?
Oh, great. You know, I definitely didn't just watch my favorite baseball team get absolutely clobbered.
I don't know anything about that, except for when they play your favorite baseball team.
No, I mean, the Tigers lost to the Rays 8-0 today.
Ooh, that's bad.
It was not good.
Jeff voice, is that bad?
Yes.
Speaking of bad, we're going to talk about the Hall of Fame game today.
That's
Woo!
Right.
Nailed it. So we missed last week mostly because I had to work a ton of hours, and then I worked a ton of hours this week. But we had football to talk about. So I said, we have to talk about football. We have to talk about Israel Abanacanda. We have to talk about Kellen Mond, or as Walker said, society has evolved past the need for Kellen Mond.
Kellen Mondew.
Kellen Mondew. Kellen Pond, because he's got a noodle arm. We're also going to talk about some training camp stories. There's a lot of stuff going on training camp. There's a lot of bullshit going on. And then there's some good stuff, too. And we're going to sift through that and let you know what's good and what's bad. We've gotten a lot of questions about a draft kit this year. Unfortunately, we are not doing a draft kit. We were put on our back foot by some things going on, as well as beer sheets being out this year. Kevin had some personal issues to deal with. We have put together near sheets, which you can find on the website. That are our best approximation of what beer sheets were. So hopefully those can help you out for your league. So let's get started with Walker. Football was back.
Barely, but it was.
The Browns beat the Jets 21-16. And it was a battle of, I mean, there was a first round quarterback out there.
Yeah.
It was Zach Wilson versus Kellen Mond to start the game. Walker, if I had to say I was going to be really annoying about one player, who do you think it would be in this matchup? We talked about him before the episode, and I said I was going to be annoying.
Oh, is it Abanacanda?
It is, but if I was going to be annoying about two players, do you know who the other one would be?
David Bell?
No, this might have been before your time. 7 for 46 and a touchdown. Dimitric Felton, baby. He's back!
Whatever.
Dimitric Felton was my, like, well, maybe they'll move on from Kareem Hunt, and then he will be Kareem Hunt for like a year, and then that didn't work. But Browns beat the Jets. Israel Abanacanda scored a rushing touchdown, but other than that, he wasn't very good. 9 for 27. Dimitric Felton, same story. I think, like, the one player that was, like, worth talking about was, well, one, Cedric Tillman caught a 20-yard pass, which made fantasy Twitter poop in their pants.
I was going to say cream in their pants.
Yeah, I almost did. And then I was like, I'll go with poop. But the one guy that, like, kind of showed a little bit was Dorian Thompson-Robinson, rookie quarterback out of UCLA for the Browns, who, you know, he's a mobile quarterback. But as I wrote about him in the rookie preview for him, I said, it's nice that there is a mobile quarterback that doesn't have to be really good. But he was good against bad competition in this one.
Yeah, 7.5 yards per attempt is decent. 8 for 11, good completion percentage. Threw a touchdown, didn't turn the ball over. Ran 6 times for a 6-yard average. He did what he was supposed to do. You know, he protected the ball. He moved it up and down the field. He ran when he had to. He didn't make silly decisions. So I mean, I at this point, he certainly looked better than Kellen Mond did. So at this point, I think he's probably got the inside track to be the backup.
That's what I was going to ask. I was going to say, did this make you think that he's going to be the number two? Because most definitely, I think that, you know, DTR, like you said, 7.5 yards per attempt. Kellen Mond was 4.8 yards per pass attempt, which is not good, as the kids say.
No, that's very bad, actually.
That's like what Nick Chubb gets every time he runs the football.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Josh Dobbs might end up being their backup as well. He's there and didn't play. So
that's true. There was a whole list of guys who were inactive.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm sure we'll see Dobbs at some point in the preseason. So they might just keep three quarterbacks and make Thompson Robinson beat out Dobbs. But DTR is more physically talented than Dobbs is.
Mm-hmm.
Dobbs is a smart guy. He's a good guy to have in your quarterback room. But I think I'd rather have DTR if somebody other than Watson had to take snaps, because he's a little bit more dynamic.
Yeah, when push comes to shove, like, it should be DTR over Dobbs. But Dobbs is in that kind of, like, late career, like, Josh McCown or, like, Brian Hoyer now, where it's like, you're good to be in the quarterback room, but we don't want you on the field sort of situation. And honestly, he probably is going to be, like, DTR, they probably want to keep. So they'll probably practice squad Mond, because if they practice squad DTR, other teams can snipe him. Yeah,
somebody would absolutely grab him. I mean,
yeah.
The Lions would grab him, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, at this point, it's like...
With Hooker on the shelf.
Yeah, think about how many teams have... Oh, Hooker got hurt?
Hendon Hooker? You mean...
Yeah.
He tore his ACL in college.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was like, yeah, wait, what? How did I was
the,
like,
he's on the pup list. Yeah.
I was like, how did I miss this news? But that's right. He's coming in hurt. But I think, yeah, DTR, you know, because he is a perfect backup for a Deshaun Watson type. And there's a lot of teams around the league that would love to have a DTR as their backup quarterback. So I honestly think he is going to beat out Dobbs for the number two role, because like, Dobbs is great to have the quarterback room, but he's also should be inactive on game day. Like, he should not be your backup.
Completely agree. Because I looked up to see who the Browns had at quarterback other than Watson, DTR, and Mond, because I knew there was somebody else. I am currently on the Our Lads page for quarterbacks, and we're going to play a game here.
Oh, boy.
I want to see how many of the backup quarterbacks in the league you can name.
Oh, God.
So we're going to start. Who is the Bills' backup quarterback?
Simeon?
No. He is a backup quarterback, but he is not theirs. And it's Kyle Allen.
Oh, Kyle Allen.
Yeah, they have an all Allen quarterback.
Yeah, they have an alphabetic, and their quarterbacks are in alphabetical order. J. Yeah. Allen, K. Allen.
And then Matt Barkley.
Oh, perfect.
Who is the Dolphins' backup quarterback?
Mike White.
That's correct. Who is the Patriots' backup quarterback? You should know this one.
Is it Nick Mullins?
No.
Oh.
Is it
Mac Jones? Is Cam Newton back?
It could be Mac Jones theoretically at some point. It's Bailey Zappi.
Oh, yeah. Bailey Zappi. Duh.
We know the Jets and Browns, so we'll skip those. Ravens.
Huntley?
Yep.
Pro Bowl quarterback Tyler Huntley.
God, that's so dumb. I hate that. Bengals.
Browning?
He is on their roster, but he is their third string quarterback.
Just saw that he was taking snaps with first team snaps with Burrow out.
The backup quarterback is Trevor Siemian.
Oh, there he is. There's Siemian.
Steelers.
Troops.
Yep, correct. Texans.
Davis Mills, baby.
Yeah,
let's go, Davis Mills, baby.
You gotta say it like Mike. Yes. Colts.
Oh, Gardner Minshew.
Jags. I know you know this one.
CJ beat hard, baby.
That's right. Do you know who their third string quarterback is now?
Is it Blaine Gabbert?
No, it's CFL legend Nathan Rourke.
Oh, let's go.
Yeah. I wonder if he'll beat out Beathard.
No, Beathard's a great backup quarterback because he can just come in and his greatest skill is just getting the shit kicked out of him without getting hurt. Yeah.
He'll get beat up and then he has no problem like running for a 4-yard gain constantly.
Yeah.
Titans.
Depends. Is it Malik Willis or Will Levis?
Well, they're saying it's Will Levis, which I am inclined to agree with, but
yes,
I'll give that one to you for sure. Broncos.
Ooh. Oh, shit. He was on the Raiders last year. Stidham.
Yep. Chiefs.
It's not. I don't know. I don't know the Chiefs one because it was what's-his-face, but he retired.
Yeah, Chad Henne retired. It's Blaine Gabbert.
Oh, Yo Gabba Gabba. That's where he showed up. Okay.
Their third-string quarterback is Shane Buechele, who I honestly think is probably better than Gabbert at this point.
Oh, he absolutely is. Blaine Gabbert, I don't know why he's still around.
Okay, Raiders.
Raiders is going to be Aiden O'Connell and Brian Hoyer.
Yep. Chargers.
Charlie Whitehurst.
Billy Volek. No. It's Easton Stick.
Oh, Easton Stick, yeah.
Or Max Duggan, I guess, but probably Stick.
It's Max Duggan. I forgot about Max Duggan.
Yeah, I forgot you really like Max Duggan for some reason. Cowboys.
I have no idea.
Still Cooper Rush.
Oh, it's still Cooper Rush? Okay. Giants. There's these like guys who are just like...
Oh, yeah. Well, it's nondescript white guy number 12.
Yeah, exactly. Giants backup quarterback is EJ Manuel.
It's Tyrod Taylor.
Oh, Tygod, duh.
Eagles.
Eagles is... I'm like, oh, man, I don't know any of these backups. Nick Foles.
Marcus Mariota.
Mariota's on the Eagles?
Yep.
Dang.
Washington. I almost just said the name of the backup quarterback because I'm looking at it.
The Washington... should I be spicy and say the Washington Sam Howells or the Washington Jake Briskets?
Well, those are the guys, so
yes.
I'll get that to you. Bears.
Backup quarterback. Case Keenum.
They have such a bad quarterback room, man. Outside of Fields, their backup is PJ Walker.
Oh, God.
Their third stringer is Nate Peterman.
That's QB1 Nate Peterman. Don't forget.
And then their fourth stringer is undrafted rookie Tyson Bagent out of Shepherd.
Oh, Tyson Badgett, I think is what I called him.
Yeah. Lions.
Hendon Hooker, but he's hurt.
Yes. So who is it now?
It's not David Blau because he's in Arizona now.
That's true.
I have no idea.
David Blau is somehow Arizona's fifth string quarterback.
Yeah, I don't know why I know so much about their quarterback room. There's Clayton Tune, Colt McCoy, David Blau, Kyler Murray, and who was the other guy?
I would never have gotten this, I'll be honest with you. Absolutely no chance.
I want to say Chris Strebler, but I saw him throw a pass last night for the Jets.
He threw seven passes and he completed one.
I didn't say I saw him complete a pass. I just said I saw him threw one.
I'll give you a hint. He played some tight end last year.
Oh God, what is that guy's name? I'm gonna get mad when you tell me, but tell me.
Jeff Driskel.
The name that so funny story when I not really funny but when I worked at Farmers there was we had a transcription service for statements and like half the time my name came out as Driskel. So Jeff Driskel is me. I'm Jeff Driskel. So Jeff nice. Driskel.
Well, Jeff Driskel is a huge ass. So congratulations on your giant butt.
I wish I had that donker.
Packers. This is the one that I would guess that you would. If you were not going to get one prior to starting this, I would have guessed the Packers.
Oh, God. See, my brain is full of quarterbacks from last night because I'm like, Tim Boyle? I'm like, no, I saw him throw a pass last night. Lions
legend.
I have no idea.
It is fifth round pick Sean Clifford.
The big red dog?
That's right. Yes. Yes. Penn State Nittany Lions, Sean Clifford. Their other quarterbacks on the roster are Danny Etling.
Not a person.
And Alex Magoo.
How do you spell that? Because
it's spelled like it should be pronounced McGuff or Mago, but right. MCGOUGH.
I think the episode title is Mr. Magoo.
Oh God, man, the quarterback room's the NFC North, not good.
Yeah. Before you say it, this is where Nick Mullins ended up.
Yeah,
it was Minnesota. Yeah,
Vikings is Nick Mullins. Yes, Falcons.
It's not Felipe Franks because he retired today.
Rip
in pieces. Oh, Matt Ryan was at training camp. Maybe it's Matt Ryan. Oh, it's oh God, what's his name? He's MAGA. Yep. Played for Washington.
Yep.
Heinicke.
Yep, that's correct. Carolina.
Oh, that's a future Hall of Famer Andrew Dalton.
That's right. New Orleans.
Oh, Jameis. Famous Jameis. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Tampa Bay.
John Wolford. Behind Kyle Trask and Baker Mayfield.
Yes.
I know way too much about that quarterback room, and none of their players are good.
Yeah, very accurate, yes. We already went through Arizona, so you got that one. Rams.
Wolford is in... we just joked about him, so it's not him. I have no idea. No. Rookie. Grizzled rookie Stetson Bennett.
That's right. They also have a quarterback on their roster named Dresser Wynn.
No, they don't. That's not a name.
I swear to God.
Dresser Wynn?
He is from Tennessee Martin.
Oh, boy. All right.
And this is what he looks like. Can you see that? At all.
I see the hair. That's all I can see.
Okay. Well, here.
What's his name? Dresser Wynn?
Dresser, as in like the thing you put clothes in, and then Wynn, W-I-N-N.
Like Randy Wynn?
Yes. He is the most normal looking man that has ever existed.
Nah, this is a Madden created a player like default guy.
I swear. I can't believe this is a real person.
This is some AI nonsense. This is from this person is not real.
You would think, because he is simply the most average looking person who has ever existed.
Yeah, he is. All right. Niners backup quarterback.
You could answer anything.
All of them.
Yeah, you know that one. And then lastly, the Seahawks.
That is Andrew Locke.
Is his name actually Andrew?
Drew Locke, PFR. Let's see. Drew Locke's name is Andrew Stephen Locke.
Nice. He should go by Steve Locke.
He should go by ASL.
Sex location.
I was thinking American Sign Language, but yeah, sure.
I'm from the Omegle generation, so.
Well, that was AOL chat rooms back in the day. The ASL. Okay, all right, so that was our review of the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah, I forgot to keep track of how many you got, but it was most of them, so good job.
Most of them, yes. By the way, what's the shortest story? Was it baby shoes for sale, never worn?
Yeah, the saddest story in six words.
Okay. David Bell shares for sale, never started.
Oh God.
I have lots of them if anybody's interested.
Poor guy. Yeah, I thought he was going to be really good, and it turns out he is too slow.
Yeah. Turns out he is not. He's not Anquan Boldin. He is Kelvin Benjamin.
Well, he's not big and fat, so.
That's true. Who is Devin Funchess?
Yeah, it's I mean, if there's anybody else worth talking about here, I guess maybe it's John Kelly. I mean, he had 14 touches for 69 nice yards and a touchdown. Maybe not a great sign that they fed him a bunch of touches in the Hall of Fame game.
Yeah, I mean.
Probably means he's not super high on the depth chart, but
But let's be clear here. Who had a ton of touches in the Hall of Fame game last year?
Well, not Josh Jacobs. He had like three.
Well, who got all the publicity?
Josh Jacobs.
That's right.
Running back two?
Three. I think he was three.
Three? Okay.
Yeah. I do actually think that John Kelly is worth talking about just because you can't give Nick Chubb 450 touches. So there are going to be running back touches to go around, and especially if Nick Chubb gets hurt, because if you try to give him 450 touches, he will get hurt. So I think paying attention to this running back room is a good way, not in like your standard like 15 round draft, but like 18, 20 round draft if you're in a deeper league. I think paying attention to the as this running back room develops, you could have a little bit of a just a flyer at the end of your bench if something happens to Chubb. And right now, I mean, John Kelly might be in the lead. I don't know which all running backs were not active last night. So
It was Chubb and Jerome Ford.
Oh, Jerome Ford was inactive. Okay, so Jerome Ford's but Jerome Ford's not very good.
No, he's not. I mean,
that's the problem.
He's probably ahead of Kelly right now. Yeah. Because they drafted him and they did not draft Kelly. He's just a guy off the street. But I mean, Felton looked decent, but he's not a traditional running back. He's more of a gadget guy. So
they really think he's like 5'8", 190 or something. Oh, 5'9", 190. Okay, yeah.
And they only have four like real running backs on the roster, and that's Chubb, Ford, Kelly, and Hassan Hall. Mm-hmm. So three of those guys are going to make the team, and it seems like Chubb and Ford are locks. Chubb obviously, but Ford seems like a lock for the roster. Felton seems like a lock for the roster, and I think Kelly is a better player than Hall. So if I had to guess, he probably makes the roster as well. So you never know, but most likely there's going to be very few, if any, players that played in this game that are going to have fantasy relevance this season.
Yeah, it's just narrowing in on the running back situation, because I tweeted this out at the beginning of July, 49 carries for 127 yards. Does the combined NFL experience of the running backs on the Browns roster not named Nick Chubb? So it is completely wide open.
That sucks. That is just awful. That's 2.7 a carry?
That's two Derrick Henry games worth of carries and one Derrick Henry game worth of yards.
Oh, man. I love to not even come close to averaging 3 yards a carry.
Yeah, it is rough. All right. So that's the Hall of Fame game. Football's back. I watched I didn't watch all of it because I came in late because I had to work, but I watched the whole second half.
Oh, well, I watched the whole first half, and then at halftime they said Aaron Rodgers was going to be on the broadcast, and I quit watching.
I put in my headphones. So, yeah. And shout out to Chris Collinsworth for calling out the bad man yesterday. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I did not.
He's like, they were talking about Deshaun Watson. They're like, you can't even begin to talk about this guy before, like, you have to address everything that he's done before you even begin to talk about him. So he called out the bad man and his sexploitation.
Well,
so
something
good for Chris Collinsworth. He said, this is a guy that's a bad man.
This is a bad guy.
This is a bad guy. All right. So let's that was our discussion of the Hall of Fame game and me naming backup quarterbacks, because that's how exciting the Hall of Fame game is. So we're going to talk a little bit about training camp buzz. There's a lot going on. There's a lot of let's be clear here, nonsense. Like, there's a lot of just fantasy Twitter making noise for the sake of making noise. Every clip, there has to be a take on every clip. But we're going to say what we really are paying attention to, the things that we're kind of buying, training camp noise that we're buying. So, Walker, we'll start with you. What's some training camp noise that you're buying this week?
Oh, I'm very interested to see if any of these are going to upset you. I know one of them won't, because you're going to agree with me 100%, because I think we've talked about it before. But the first one, I'm going to get the kind of out there one out of the way. And that's that I think that one of the receivers that's going to have a legitimate role in Kansas City this year is Justin Ross.
That's fine. I think Justin Barras would be a great touchdown threat.
I always liked his game at Clemson.
Yeah, me too.
He was very impressive. I mean, at one point, he was a better prospect than T. Higgins on the same team. So I know we can play. There's no guarantee he can stay healthy, and that's a big risk, but he's free. So if you draft him in the last round and he pops off in the first couple weeks, you might be able to get like a boom bust wide receiver 3 out of it.
Yeah, I honestly believe that that's true. Like, I wanted to believe in Rashee Rice because that was the first iteration of this episode. I had Rashee Rice as one of the things that I was buying because he was popping off in training camp. But as Justin Ross has come along, you know, they're throwing to him in the end zone in scrimmages. He's a, you know, strong player. I liked him. I was looking up the tier that I had him in. I had him in the tier with Alec Pierce, who I love. Mm-hmm. Christian Watson, John Mechie, who I also love. So that was the group I had him in pre-draft. And so he's a good player. He just lost last year with, what was it? Was it his spine?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, he missed all of his rookie year with a pretty gnarly injury. And so we kind of forgot about him. And I just, you know, I like these players that everybody kind of forgot about because it's a very much like, what have you done for me lately? But I love that call, to be honest with you. So that's not the one that I'm going to get mad about.
I'm trying to find where I had him ranked, but I can't find the sheet. Dang it.
All right. So I will talk about a team nearest and dearest to my heart. And I'm going to talk about the 49ers passing game. Brock Purdy cleared for practice. Fully cleared, no issues with the elbow. He's taking most first team reps. Sam Darnold and Trey Lance, they're talking about him like somebody's agent is paying them to talk them up in practice. It's like Brock Purdy, he just gets the kind of like, he's just there doing his thing. You know, everybody's like, oh yeah, Brock Purdy's doing great. He's killing it. Elbow looks good. But then when they talk about Trey Lance and Sam Darnold, you can really feel the like, Trey Lance was 3 for 7 in scrimmages, but it took a great play by D'Amador Lenore to make that not, 4 for 7. And you know, Sam Darnold fired a rifle on a screen pass to such and such. And it's just like, okay, but Brock Purdy is just doing Brock Purdy things. So I honestly believe that I think the competition is over for now. I mean, Trey Lance is going to get his shot because 49ers quarterbacks always get hurt. Brock Purdy got hurt. Trey Lance got hurt, which opened the door for Brock Purdy. Jimmy Garoppolo was perpetually hurt. So I think that the passing game is sorted out. It's going to be Brock Purdy. Another thing about the passing game that's sorted out is Brandon Ayuk. I have not heard a single thing about any other 49ers wide receiver at camp except for Brandon Ayuk. And they are all, holy shit, Brandon Ayuk has taken it to another level. Like, everybody's like, Brandon Ayuk could be a real-life top 10 wide receiver in the NFL. And I think that that's a great thing for fantasy, because if you go to I accidentally closed fantasy data. But if you go to ADP, he's going very late for somebody who could potentially be a top 10 guy. And this was kind of like what I was talking about, I believe, 2 years ago, where it's like Brandon Ayuk is the most quote-unquote normal receiver on the 49ers. Yeah. He's wide receiver 32, pick 77 overall. He's the most quote-unquote normal guy, because it's like Debo Samuel and Christian McCaffrey are both essentially, you know, they're both running back wide receivers. George Kittle blocks most of the time. Juwan Jennings is just basically a third down guy. And Brandon Ayuk has everything to be a star. He was a first-round pick. And if he and Brock Purdy are on the same page in training camp, he's all over the place. I honestly feel like 32 is a steal for Brandon Ayuk, because he's the only guy on this roster that I could see getting 115 targets, which is honestly what keeps him down. Because if he's on, we'll say the Ravens or the Colts or just some other random team, he's getting 130 targets easily. But the 49ers have too many targets, so that's the one thing keeping him down. But at 32, if anything happens to Debo or Kittle or Christian McCaffrey, Brandon Ayuk's gonna get 10-11 targets every single week.
Yeah, I mean, you're certainly, there's certainly a path there to significant relevance, especially because Kittle and Samuel have both been injured before.
Yes.
I guess so is Ayuk, but just in his rookie season at the start. So.
And so is Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, I mean, not wrong. You know, projecting health, I think wide receiver 32 is like very fair.
Yes.
But there's certainly upside there. And I think he's a better pick in that like mid-tier wide receiver 3 range than say, I don't know, George Pickens or Gabe Davis. You know, I think he just, he simply has more upside. I mean, if he gets more than like the 95 targets that he'll get if everybody stays healthy, you know, if he's up around 110, then all of a sudden he's maybe wide receiver 18 or so.
Yeah.
And then you're talking about a guy who's right alongside like DK Metcalf. And to get that, you know, in what, the seventh round, pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I definitely understand it. I'm not going to be quite as bullish on Ayuk, but if you want a piece of the 49ers offense, he's the least expensive of the four, and
yes,
he's good, a good player. So,
yeah. So we're going to do for Brandon Ayuk or Tyler Lockett.
Ayuk.
Brandon Ayuk or Mike Evans.
Ayuk.
Brandon Ayuk or Deontay Johnson.
Deontay.
Brandon Ayuk or Marquise Brown?
Ayuk.
Okay. All those players go between pick 73 and 79. They're by ADP, Lockett, Evans, Ayuk, Deontay Johnson, and Hollywood Brown. So, I mean, I would rather take Ayuk out of that group. I mean, sorry, Deontay Johnson than Ayuk. But I think Ayuk and Mike Evans are going to be back-to-back, and I think Ayuk's going to move ahead of Mike Evans. Just because there's that clarity with the quarterback room in San Francisco that there isn't in Tampa Bay. Mm-hmm. And even though Mike Evans can do it with anybody, like Brandon Ayuk has a chance, like you said, to be top 18 easily. So, all right. What is another training camp whisper, new piece of news that you're buying into?
I am going to say that and let me pull where I have him ranked up just so I don't screw it up. I have him ranked as running back 23 right now.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, people might say that's a little high because he's not even really the starting running back on this team. But there is a huge void in this offense for a pass catching running back. And their new offensive coordinator is coming from a team that constantly used a pass catching running back. I think that Antonio Gibson's going to be a top 24 running back this year because he's good at catching passes. He played wide receiver in college. He's good at it. And they don't have JD McKissick anymore. So their only other threat catching passes out of the backfield is if they shift Curtis Samuel there. So I think Gibson is, you know, I think he's a lock for over 50 targets. I still think he'll carry the ball something in the range of 8 or 9 times a game. And he's a pretty good football player. So I think he'll get close to 1,000 total yards. He'll score a few touchdowns. He'll catch a lot of passes. And that's a guy that you can use either as a really good flex or even as a low-end RB2.
Yes. And Walker, remind me, who is the offensive coordinator in Washington now?
That is Eric Bieniemy.
And where was Eric Bieniemy last year?
I believe he was with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Oh, and did the Kansas City Chiefs have a pass-catching running back actually absolutely light the league on fire down the stretch?
Yeah, they had, and he was 30 years old as well.
Interesting.
And not as good as Antonio Gibson.
Interesting. So what you're saying is that people are being stupid about Antonio Gibson and finally coming around to what I've been saying. Let's go!
That's right. I mean, I think the value is really good. I mean, you probably have the ADP up right now.
Running back 33, pick 91 overall behind A.J. Dillon and James Cook and ahead of Brian Robinson and Jamal Williams.
Well, I mean, A.J. Dillon, I think it's reasonable to have right around Antonio Gibson, but all those other guys can kick rocks. I mean,
If Brian Robinson kicks a rock, he's going down at the line of scrimmage. He's bad, folks.
He's not good. But yeah, I mean, they're just, you're just not going to throw the ball to Brian Robinson when you can throw the ball to Antonio Gibson instead. Eric Bieniemy is not stupid.
No, he's also not stupid because this is going to be his team sooner rather than later.
It certainly could be. If they start bad, he could be the acting head coach.
Yeah. And speaking of the Washington Commanders, here's a little bit of training camp news that I'm buying.
Okay.
Who does fantasy Twitter absolutely love for no good reason on the Washington Commanders offense?
Terry McLaurin.
Oh, I was going to say Sam Howell.
Sure.
They are obsessed with Sam Howell.
Yes.
Ron Rivera keeps talking about Jacoby Brissett. Okay. And we all said on this podcast, we said Jacoby Brissett is going to be the cheap way to get into this Washington offense because he's going to take over for Sam Howell sooner or later. And there's this telling thing that I found in press conferences that if somebody gets asked about one player and then they start talking about another player, that's who they actually want to be talking about. And a few days ago, I heard this on the Around the NFL podcast. They asked Ron Rivera about Sam Howell and how the quarterback room's developing. And he kept talking about how Jacoby Brissett can just come in, be a solid player, do what they need to do, win them games, all this stuff. And it's just like, I mean, sure, we were asking about Sam Howell, but Fantasy Twitter wants to think that Sam Howell is good for no reason other than vibes. They were like, oh, well, we had him projected as a first round pick. It's like, oh, so you're going to be wrong about Sam Howell twice. That's your plan.
Yeah, I love to have nothing about my priors confirmed and just assume that they were.
I've been meaning to tweet this out, but it's you know, the little brackets. It's a guy with the worst process on earth. The process was correct.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it's a little bit different. You know, it's different than like Denny Carter tweeting like the process with the sad guy picture.
Yeah.
And when, you know, he's one of the best fantasy analysts in the world, and then it is when, you know, some jamoke on Twitter who has like 200 followers is like, you know, Sam Howell was my rookie QB1 last year.
Yeah.
Like, man, who cares? There weren't any good ones.
Just because you did it wrong doesn't mean that
he might even be the best one. I replied to somebody on Twitter yesterday talking about Sam Howell and said that's the lowest bar possibly ever to clear.
Yeah.
I mean, the quarterbacks out of last year's class that actually played were Malik Willis, who sucked really bad. Is that it?
Brock Purdy.
Oh, Brock Purdy, who's a game manager in a really good system.
He works in the system, yeah. So here's the quarterbacks from last year. This is CBS's pre-draft rank. Malik Willis.
Bad.
Kenny Pickett. Sam Howell.
No idea yet, but I don't think he's great.
Desmond Ridder.
Not very good.
Matt Corral.
Oh, Matt Corral, yeah. Injured.
Nope, he's Matt Corral.
Okay.
I refuse to call him Matt Corral. Matt Corral, who, remind me, did the Panthers replace him this year?
Yes.
Did they trade a whole bunch of stuff to replace him this year?
Yes.
Here, drafted by the Steelers.
I mean, that was...
Seventh round pick, the number six guy. Seventh round pick. South Dakota State.
Chris Olatokun?
Yes. Then we have Bailey Zappi, Brock Purdy, Skylar Thompson. And then they don't even list a 10th guy. They only went to 9.
Nice. Okay, that's great.
So him being your quarterback one of that group, fine.
Sure. I mean, I guess. But, like, I mean... I guess the best guy out of those is Pickett so far, and he was downright bad last season. So,
yeah,
maybe Sam Howell is the best one of those guys. Maybe. But even if he is, that doesn't mean he's good.
Yeah. I mean, none of these guys are very good. Like Brock Purdy was the most successful, but that was just because they put him in a system that was custom made for what Brock Purdy does, basically.
Right.
Yeah, so it's Sam Howell, not great. Jacoby Brissett, pretty good. Better than Deshaun Watson was last year. Actually had the Browns on the verge of getting to the playoffs.
True. So here, I'm going to go back to Antonio Gibson for a second.
Sure.
Because
I take it back. Sorry, they were 4-7 under Brissett. For some reason, I thought they were 6-5.
Because with Brissett, you can't really do like this or that because he's free and unranked.
Yeah.
So Antonio Gibson or Cam Akers?
Come on, man. I love one of these players and I hate the other one.
I know.
So Antonio Gibson.
Okay. Antonio Gibson or Damian Pierce?
Antonio Gibson.
Okay. Antonio Gibson or DeAndre Swift?
My projections say Swift, but my heart says Gibson.
Okay. And let's see. Antonio Gibson or Jerick McKinnon?
Gibson, baby.
Okay.
I think you have to draft McKinnon first, though.
I don't think so. I think Gibson's going ahead of McKinnon right now.
I'm taking them in the 9th and 10th round, I found, but I can't remember which one I take first.
I think you said it was Gibson and McKinnon at like the 8th and 9th or something.
Eighth and ninth. Okay, yeah. So
I've been doing 14 team mocks and I've been getting them in the 7th and 8th.
Perfect. That'll work.
Pretty good.
Any more questions?
No, that's it for that one. Yeah.
Okay. So what's another training camp battle that or not training camp battle training back training camp news that you believe in?
I believe that the most productive rookie tight end is going to be Detroit Lions Sam Laporta.
Agreed.
He is getting incredible reviews out of camp, even by people who aren't Lions reporters. People who come in from outside are really impressed by how quickly he has taken over that tight end room. Now, I will say the competition, not super stiff there. The Lions' next best tight end is Brock Wright, who is a classic tight end too. He's a good blocker, and he can catch the ball if you throw it to him. That's pretty much what you get out of him. He's Durham Smythe. But Laporta he's an exciting athlete. He played in an offense that couldn't throw the ball worth a shit and still produced, because Iowa was one of the worst passing offenses in the entirety of college football last year, and Laporta was like 45% of their passing offense. He's playing with a quarterback who can actually find people when they're open, and he's good at running after the catch, which I don't think the Lions have had in a tight end since Charlie Sanders in the 70s.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying I haven't projected for anything spectacular. I have him at 40 catches for 480 yards and 4 touchdowns, which would put him at tight end 19. So I'm not necessarily saying that he's going to be great, but I think if there's going to be a rookie tight end who emerges, it's going to be the guy in the offense that is really good, but doesn't have a true solidified number two target. I mean, especially with Jameson Williams out for the first 6 games. The number two target in the offense is going to be probably Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yes.
And then the number three target could very well be Sam Laporta.
Yeah, I mean, that's true.
Because the number two receiver on the team is going to be either Josh Reynolds or Khalif Raymond, who are fine, but they're not needle movers at all. So I don't really see any reason why, if you're going to go after a tight end late in the draft, you know, say, pass on Dalton Kincaid, pass on Irv Smith, get Sam Laporta instead, because the upside is just as high, but the floor is higher.
Yeah, I mean, I think everybody's all wrong about Dalton Kincaid, his potential to be the top tight end this year. People just got stars in their eyes because they want something to happen out of the Buffalo Bills offense. Yeah. You know, you got, sorry, Andrew Cooper, but this idea that Dalton Kincaid and Dawson Knox aren't going to split roles is insane.
Yeah, people are just like, oh, Dalton Kincaid played out of the slot at Utah, which means he's going to be the primary slot receiver for the Bills as a rookie. No, he's not.
Dawson Kincaid played out of the slot like a third of the time last year. I mean, sorry, Dawson Knox played out of the slot like a third of the time last year, too.
Yeah, and he still was barely relevant for fantasy ever.
Yeah, so good luck with all that.
Yeah, the only reason to draft Dalton Kincaid in fantasy is because he was a first round pick and you're hoping. It's hopium.
It is hopium. Speaking of hopium, OJ Howard got cut.
Okay.
Austin Hooper is the only other guy there.
Michael Mayer season?
I think Michael Mayer might have a chance to challenge Sam Laporta for the number one rookie tight end this year.
I think Austin Hooper is not that bad still.
I think he's fine.
I mean, I think it's going to be kind of the same situation as last year with Chig, where Hooper is clearly not quite as good as the rookie, but he will do enough that it'll lower the upside.
Yes, he's going to be annoying.
Right, and I don't think Mayer is... He's not as explosive as Okonkwo. He might be a better pure pass catcher, but he's definitely not as explosive. So I think that on a limited amount of touches, I don't see Mayer being fantasy relevant.
Yeah, that's fine. I just think that he's... I just got a little bit of like, OJ Howard got cut. Maybe I could be very stupid about this.
Maybe. Hey guys, check out this bad idea.
Speaking of, hey guys, check out this bad idea. I'm buying Javonte Williams being ready to go week one.
Oh,
but hold on. Javonte Williams is not going to be a bell cow back. I need to preface it with that. Basically, I'm pushing back against this this J.K. Dobbins narrative that certain fake surgeons are pushing on Twitter. Javonte Williams, not limited in training camp early. He's cleared for and then he moved on to be cleared for full contact. Like he's going to play week. He's going to be ready to go week one. He's going to play in preseason games. He'll be fine. I also think that Samaje Perine is going to get like 12 touches a game and Javonte Williams is going to get like 14 because that's how Javonte Williams is. He shared time in college with Michael Carter. Everybody got so pissed off at Melvin Gordon just for existing because they were keeping touches from Javonte Williams. But Javonte Williams had like 3 games in college with 20 carries, I think, none in the NFL. So I'm buying that he's going to be ready to go week one. I'm not buying this doom and gloom about his knee. I think he'll be ready to go week one. But I also think that I'm not going to draft any Javonte Williams. What makes me excited about it is people are going to put Javonte Williams in the third round, which means players that I like are going to fall to me in the fourth.
That's fair. I mean, yeah, I have Javonte Williams projected for, 235 touches and at RB30 because I don't think he's going to be very efficient. The Denver offensive line is not great. I think Sean Payton's going to come in and install a little bit more of a pass-heavy attack. I don't personally think Javonte Williams is really that great to begin with.
No.
He's the type of running back that I hate most, which is runs directly into contact. He's just really good at, like, plowing through it. But there's nothing to me that has told me that he's anything more than A.J. Dillon with smaller quads.
I mean, that's entirely fair.
And, I mean, he's an okay pass catcher, but we've seen him run in camp so far. He's clearly good enough. He's healthy enough that he can go, but he's not 100%. I mean, the explosiveness is not there.
Yeah, but it was like J.K. Dobbins wasn't explosive to like the last 4 or 5 games of the season last year.
Right, and I'm not drafting J.K. Dobbins either, to be honest, to be frank, but no, I mean, I think the gap, I think you're definitely right that the gap between Williams and Perine is not going to be that big.
No.
I think they're both, like, flex guys. Williams just a more consistent one.
Williams is just going to go, like, 8 rounds earlier.
Right, Javonte Williams is going to go, like, pick 45, even though he's coming off injury and... he's going to play, but not very efficiently. And Perine's going to go in the 10th and be a guy that you can put in your flex like 2 out of 3 weeks.
Yeah, let's see what ADP is right now. And I'm gonna keep track of it. So right now, Javonte Williams is RB27, pick 67 overall.
Okay.
And then Perine is Ryan is going to be pick running back 38, pick 108 overall. My guess is that everybody that was taking P. Ryan were betting against Javonte Williams playing, and that's going to go up to, yeah, fourth round pick. I'll say pick 42 for Javonte and pick like 127 for Samaje.
I'll say Javonte barely sneaks into the top 50. I'll say he's pick 49. And what was Samaje right now?
108.
I'll say he drops a full round, 120.
120? Okay. So we're basically the same thing, except I think that the gap will be a half round different, bigger yep. than what you think.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, that'll be an interesting thing to track. So that's another piece of training camp news that I'm buying. What else are you buying, Walker?
Boy. Can I say something that I'm not buying?
Sure.
Okay. I'm not buying that Devin Achane is going to take over the Dolphins backfield.
Podcast over.
I just think he's too small. I don't think he can hold up to a full workload.
And that's not, I agree with that, actually. I mean, Achane, I love Devon Achane, but I never thought he was going to be a lead back type guy. He's more of that like satellite back type player. And when you look at the other guys they have on the roster, it just doesn't work stylistically to try to be like, okay, we built this team out of Jeff Wilson and Raheem Mostert, and we're going to try to plug Devon Achane into there. They're just different types of players. So I don't think that, like, if Devon Achane ends up with, like, a top, like, 35 running back ADP, I'm out. I like him in the 40s as a pass catcher back. But if people try to make him what he's not and try to act like, oh, he's going to be, you know, like a James Cook type, you know, where he's running the ball as much as he's catching it, then I'm out. I don't want that. You know, but right now he's running back 43 by ADP, behind McKinnon, ahead of Algier and Foreman. I'll take that all day. But I think the helium is getting to be a bit much.
Yeah, I mean, I have three Miami running backs projected in my top 50 and none projected in my top 36. So yeah, that'll tell you how I feel about their backfield. I just think it's going to be kind of a mess. You know, Jeff Wilson always gets touches. He's just fine. And so he's not going to get a ton of them. Raheem Mostert is explosive, but he probably won't play a full season considering he's into his 30s now. And he's really not much of a pass catcher. Achane is the most adept pass catcher of the three and probably the quickest, but he's also tiny and they're not going to want to give him like 12 touches a game. So if any, I would say Achane has the highest ceiling of the three. And so I don't have a problem. I mean, I have him running back 39 right now, so I don't have a problem taking him at ADP.
His ADP is going to change.
Right. I worry that by the end of preseason, he's going to be going at like running back 33. And then at that point I'm out.
Yeah. I mean, that's, we're on the same page. And I think that actually ties into the last training camp bit of news that I'm buying into. And that is what we think about running backs right now is going to change dramatically between now and September 11th. Never forget. J.K. Dobbins, Jonathan Taylor, Josh Jacobs, Austin Eckler. None of these guys are happy with their contract situations. They're doing various.
Eckler got a new contract.
Oh, he got a new contract?
Yeah, he got it's reworked. My guess is he's probably still not that happy with it, but he's going to play.
Okay, that's fine. So I did not see that. Did that happen today or did I just miss that news?
No, I think you just missed it. It happened like a few weeks ago.
Okay, so Dobbins, JT, Josh Jacobs, not happy with their contract. Leonard Fournette, Kareem Hunt, Ezekiel Elliott, Dalvin Cook, all still floating out there. Joe Mixon, civil case. Alvin Kamara, 3-game suspension. What we think now about running back ADP is all going to get flipped on its head, because I'm not saying that Leonard Fournette is a difference maker. I'm not saying that Kareem Hunt is a difference maker. I'm not saying that Ezekiel Elliott is a difference maker. But if, say, for example, Ezekiel Elliott goes to Baltimore because J.K. Dobbins isn't happy with his contract. Well, then J.K. Dobbins isn't going to get any goal line carries because that's all that Ezekiel Elliott is good for at this point. If Leonard Fournette goes to the Raiders to be a very poor man's version of Josh Jacobs, then there's going to be trouble. If Kareem Hunt goes and joins Joe Mixon to have the world's worst backfield, in terms of the people, not the play, but the people, then that's going to change things. I think the thing that I'm buying is that the running backs are pissed. But the problem is there's more running backs on the market than there are running. So it's like things are going to change because this running back devaluation, it's there. That's seven guys. That's a quarter. That's almost a quarter of the league that could get flipped on its head. If things like what happens if the Colts say fine and they trade Jonathan Taylor?
Yeah, I mean, obviously that changes his projection. I mean, Jonathan Taylor's also not healthy right now.
That's true, too.
So we don't know how much he's going to play this season.
I think he'll play. I mean,
no, I think he'll certainly be out there at times, but is he going to be full strength? Is he going to be motivated?
Oh, he'll be motivated. I mean, let's be clear. If Jonathan Taylor is going to be one thing this season, it'll be motivated.
Sure.
But, I mean, it's like, I don't know. It's so much is going to get flipped on its head. Like, any of those backs that I named, any of those backs end up in Tampa Bay, Rashad White's RB26 ADP is going to evaporate.
Well, it should, because that sucks.
He's bad. Sean Tucker is the one that you should be drafting.
I mean, yeah, he's free. Who cares?
I was going to say, don't you dare say Keyshawn Vaughn.
No. If anything, I would have said Chase Edmonds.
Oh, God, that's right. Chase Edmonds versus Sean Tucker. Two men enter, one man leaves.
Chase Edmonds will have at least 100 touches this year. Book it.
I hope so. You bullied me into taking him in Scott Fishbowl. So.
I have him RB 43.
Which, by the way, I'm already behind the eight ball in Scott Fishbowl. Because guess who like my wide receiver like six was?
Tim Patrick.
Yep. I was going to say, I'll give you a hint. He's out for the season again.
Did I take Tim Patrick in Scott Fishbowl?
You're like, uh-oh.
I might have done that. That seems like something I would have done.
You're like, that sounds like me.
No, right. I didn't.
Any other bits of training camp news that you are buying?
Not really. No, I tend to try to stay away from it. I just felt like this would be a good exercise because we tend to try to stay away from overreactions in camp. So I feel like coming from us, these, you know, pieces of analysis might be a little bit more actionable because we tend not to overreact.
Yes. Yeah. So we are very much, it's hard to create content this time of year for us because we're like, none of this matters.
Right.
None of the stuff that happens in August matters to us except for injuries. Yeah, I think we'll be back next week with Walker. You and I realize we haven't done
mock draft.
We got to plant some flags.
Oh, we do have to plant flags.
Yeah, let's plant some.
We absolutely do.
We're going to plant some flags next week, and I'm going to get flags from everybody. I'm going to get it from the TH Fantasy guys. I'm going to get it from Evan, Waleed, Mike, if Mike ever shows up again. Mike's off gallivanting around with Thyro Estrada. So we will be back. We might have a different recording schedule next week because I'm going to go to the Fantasy Football Expo. So we'll move some stuff around, but we'll have
record live from the Fantasy Football Expo and pull a bunch of guests on.
What I was going to say was I'm going to film Dez Bryant destroying Luke Sawhook and Akash in fantasy football or in flag football.
Yes.
Cause he just tweeted, he just X'd, team PC is ready and locked for the at FF Expo fantasy football flag turning. This is not a game. And it was pictures of cleats. So he is going to play against a bunch of guys who are either severely underweight or severely overweight. That is everybody at the expo.
Right.
right.
Oh boy. So we'll be back. I realized I bought a portable recorder last year specifically to do that, but I forgot. So I'm going to try to get some people at the expo so their takes. So we'll be back later on. So for Walker and Jeff, and sorry Luke and sorry Akash, you guys are going to die at Des Bryant's hands.
You will be getting killed.
Yes. Des Bryant may not have caught it, but he definitely will catch it at the flag football game.
Des Bryant is about to catch a body.
Oh, thanks for listening. Take care and have a good one.
Bye.